May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 697. And we'll do as we usually do. The organ will play and we will sing in our hearts. Hymn 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us, fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Genesis and chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we'll read the first 31 verses. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even at the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels were done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. May the Lord bless that reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy great majesty, to call upon thy great and holy name. We desire that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us today. We come as poor sinners before thee. We all have sinned and come short of thy glory. We are all as an unclean thing and go forth from the womb speaking lies and hypocrisy. And this is our sad and deplorable state by nature, O Lord God. We pray that thou wouldst come this day in thy spirit and in thy grace and deliver us from the power and the dominion of sin and from the workings of Satan, and grant that that precious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ may be abundant toward us, and that we may be favoured with a glimpse of his glorious majesty. We think of those wonderful words of grace. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Gracious God, we do pray that thou wilt come and testify among us this day. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray that for that heavenly unction of the Spirit of God to rest upon our branch. And that we pray that we may also know those divine leadings of an eternal Father, leading us and guiding us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst so bless us even this day. For Lord, without thee we can do nothing. None come except the Father draw. And no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. How essential is thy divine work, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, that we may feel thy work in our hearts. We think of those beautiful words, for God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, that we could know that, feel that, experience that, even this day. And to know what the dear Lord Jesus spake on here on earth, for the Father himself loveth you. Oh, to feel the divine love of our eternal Father, and to have that Spirit of adoption breathed into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst deliver us from sin and from its power and from its dominion. And though sin lives in us, may not we live in sin, but may we live to him that died. May we be united unto Jesus Christ. May we be enabled to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. May the gathering of the people be unto thee, and may the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May it be with us as the dear apostle himself could testify, for our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. We pray to be delivered from the temptations of Satan. Lord, we prove and we know and we experience that he comes in many different ways. And thy word declares unto us that we are to beware lest Satan coming as an angel of light to deceive us. Oh, to be delivered from the deceptions of Satan, from false religion, from false hopes, from a false experience. Oh, deliver us from it. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we painfully feel it. We pray to be delivered then from Satan's power. And then we read, O Lord, in thy word that sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood. And sometimes he comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But thou hast said in thy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We pray that it may be so here even today. There may be those that have come to the sanctuary harassed and oppressed by the enemy of souls. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst send them deliverance, that thou wouldst lift up the glorious standard of the cross of Christ unto them, that they may look and live, that they may lose the burden of their sins, that they may find liberty, light, and joy and peace in believing. Do hear us, Lord. We do humbly pray thee, and let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. O Lord, we do pray for our brethren, the deacons, that grace, wisdom and help may be given them in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them in the sanctuary. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship. Graciously undertake for them. Graciously go before them. Help us to love each other, serve each other, bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Help us to live to him that died, to be surrendered to the crucified one. While our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee. Oh, do help us and enable us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, we do pray for the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion. We pray that thou wouldst put the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, in their hearts. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst guide and direct parents, that they may be enabled to bring up their children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, and that we may not have those things in our homes that will stumble them and that will lead them astray from wisdom's way. Give us that wisdom that cometh from above, which is first pure, then peaceable. We pray, dear Lord, for the young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey, Watch over them, keep them, preserve them from all evil. Graciously be with them in the slippery paths of youth. And graciously open their eyes to the truth. Put thy holy fear in their hearts. An unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. Bring them to living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Go before them regarding a partner in life's journey. Graciously go before them in their education. And go before them, O Lord, regarding future employment. Give them to feel, to experience, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we do pray that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst remember each and every one in the midst of the journey of life. Graciously have mercy upon them and prepare us each for that great day when heart and flesh shall fail, when we shall soar through tracks unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Gracious Lord, we do pray to be prepared for that great day. We pray to be led and taught and guided and directed by thee. We seek, O Lord God, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst remember those in the evening time of life's journey. As the outward man perisheth, may the inward man be renewed day by day. May the arms of thine everlasting love surround them. We would not forget the prodigals, those that have wandered away from the house of God and have no desire to meet or to worship in the house of God. Cause them to be in want. Cause them to return. Thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. What rejoicing there would be in our hearts in this cause of truth to see the prodigals returning. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would send out thy light and thy truth into this village. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May the strongholds of Satan be pulled down. We would remember those that have taken a Bible, and we pray that that Bible may be used of thee by thy blessed Spirit to open their eyes, to see their lost condition, and to open their eyes to see that Jesus is the way to God. Lord, do so work. Thou hast promised in thy word, I will work, and who shall let it? That thou hast promised, I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth. And they shall come from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. Great God, fulfill thy word. We do humbly beseech thee for thy great name's sake. May we be labourers together in this matter. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. We pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they come in and out among this people here. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And grant, most gracious Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst gird thy servants with all sufficient grace. And that we pray that our dear friends here, that they may be burdened and exercised concerning a settled ministry among them. For Lord, this is thy divine order. And we pray that thou wouldst grant them a pastor, one that shall come in and out among them and feed them with knowledge and with understanding. And that thou wouldst build the walls of Jerusalem, that thou wouldst send real prosperity. For I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies. Lord, may it be so. Thine arm is not shortened. Thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Seeing he ever liveth. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We do pray Most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would remember thy servants as they labour upon the walls of Zion, up and down the nation today. And that thou would graciously pour thy spirit upon them. We think of those who meet in the twos and the threes. Oh, that there may be a rebuilding, a renewing, a reviving. That we may see thy work and thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. We see the terrible spirit and power of Antichrist so prevalent in our society today. Oh, that we could see the spirit and power of the gospel shining forth, graciously bringing precious souls unto Christ. And that thou wouldst cause thy people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray for our nation. We lovingly commend to thee our beloved Queen, her consort, and all the royal household. Pray that thou wouldst touch their hearts with thy grace and bring them to thyself as poor penitent sinners. What a great blessing to have godly rulers. We pray that thou wouldst give wisdom and understanding to our leaders and graciously guide and direct them in all matters. And in this present period of time, O Lord, when thy solemn judgments are in the earth, and thou hast said in thy word, they shall not hear, but they shall hear. And we pray that we may see thy hand in opening the eyes of our fellow creatures to the deep solemnity of death and eternity in the view of this pandemic. Thousands and thousands swept from time into eternity. O Lord, do arise. We do beseech of thee and do work for thy great name's sake. We thank thee that thou art God over all and blessed for evermore. We thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for another Sabbath day when we're able to meet together around the word of God. We have the liberty so to do, and we do bless thee. May we not take it for granted. We thank thee for the wonderful glory, power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what he has done, the glorious holy God-man, God manifest in the flesh, fulfilling, honouring, magnifying that holy law that we have broken, and thereby bringing in everlasting righteousness for thy people. Oh, we do bless thee for the glory of the name of our Lord Jesus, that everlasting robe of his righteousness. We do thank thee for the holy sacrifice of Calvary, that sin has indeed been put away in that glorious sacrifice, and divine justice has been satisfied, and God and sinners are reconciled, and peace is made betwixt God and man. We do thank thee that he died for our sins, and rose again for our justification, and has now bodily ascended into heaven and sitteth at thy right hand. We have indeed an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, do hear us, we pray, in heaven thy holy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Make up in giving where we do so fail in asking. Remember all in affliction, trouble, trial and bereavement. And support, sustain and strengthen each one. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn 1056. 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Hymn 1056.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the book of Genesis, chapter 24, and we will read verse 31 for our text. Genesis chapter 24, reading verse 31 for our text. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." Very beautiful and sacred account that we have here, a narrative of Abraham sending his servant Eliezer, that was the chief of his household, to fetch a wife for his son Isaac, the promised seed. He did not want him to marry one of the Canaanites. He desired him that he would be married to one of his own kindred, so he sent him to Mesopotamia, quite some distance from where they were in the land of Canaan. And we notice here the Lord's divine leadings. I cannot but feel that Abraham's servant, Eliezer, was a gracious man, You might say, well, how do you know? Because he was a man of prayer. And that is the mark of a gracious man, a man of prayer. And he was a man that had all of Abraham's substance, which was very substantial, under his care and under his keeping. And it's very obvious that Abraham had great trust in him, that he would perform what he asked him to do. And we notice here the promise. Abraham says in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee. You see the faith. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He was renowned for his faith. And it was a faith that was very sorely tried by the Lord. But he says here, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. It was obviously revealed unto him by the Lord that that was where he was to find a wife for his son. And so he took these 10 camels and goods from his master. Abraham was a very wealthy man. And he took his journey. But we find that he asked the Lord for divine guidance. We read in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, I think it's verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a wonderful, precious thing to be led by the Spirit of God. In that same chapter in Romans 8, that the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Ghost, is called the Spirit of Christ. And you might say, why? Because these are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. One blessed, infinite, eternal, and almighty God. And so they are interchangeable terms. He's called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. And it's a very sacred thing, my beloved friends, if you and I are being led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Spirit of God. And if you are indeed being led by the Spirit of God and guided by the Spirit of God, you'll be a person that inquires of God. You'll be a person that prays. That's one of the marks of being led by the Spirit. We read of the Saul of Tarsus, that when the Lord Jesus, in that sovereign and almighty way, stopped him on the road to Damascus, it is said, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. That was the mark, the evidence, that the Lord had stopped him, that he was now brought as a poor, guilty sinner in need before a holy God. Do you pray? Do you seek the Lord? Do you seek to be led and guided? You know, it's quite striking, really, in the Word of God, especially in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And we find there that how Joshua was led. Joshua was one of those characters in Holy Scripture, a very godly man who was most certainly led and taught by the Spirit of God. He's one of those few characters in Holy Scripture of the Lord's people that you never read of the Lord rebuking him. He was a man that was very faithful in what the Lord gave him to do. Only we have in that first chapter the Lord speaking unto Joshua. In verse 6 he says, be strong and of a good courage, For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance a land which I swear unto their fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, friends, we must ever remember, we know Joshua had a particular battle to fight in that he was to destroy all those races of people that were in the seven nations of Canaan. He was going to take the land. But you know, every child of God has a battle. And it's an intense battle, sometimes more intense than others. But you might say, what is the enemy? Satan is one enemy. Your wicked heart is another enemy. The world is another enemy. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are our enemies. If we are indeed one of the Lord's children and we're being taught of the living God, we will find this battle. Behold the Shulamite, in whom there is, as it were, a company of two armies. The apostle, he says in the epistle to the Galatians, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the one is the contrary to the other. There's a battle that goes on. If you look into Romans chapter 7, the dear apostle Paul, he speaks of this battle that was going on in his heart. When I would do good, then evil is present with me. And that which I would, I do not. And that which I would not, I do. I find a law within my members. What does it mean, a law within my members? A law means a certain way of things. A law within my members. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. In every believer, two armors are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. And that is what is the great trial to the living child of God, the old man of sin. The old man of sin would resist the will of God. The old man of sin would resist being so strict and sticking so close to the word of God. The old man of sin loves the world and the things that are in the world. You see, if we feed the flesh by pampering to the flesh and doing those things that are pleasing to the flesh, our flesh will grow. Our flesh will grow stronger and stronger if you feed it. But the exhortations that we each have in the Word of God is that we are to deny ourselves. We are to deny ourselves. Take up our cross. And follow him. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves denying self. The apostle Paul, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And that we may run with patience the race that is set before us. Laying aside every weight. We have to lose something. In real religion. And the flesh has to be crucified. The flesh has to be mortified. That means killed. Sometimes the Lord, I don't want to digress too much here, but sometimes the Lord in his inward teaching to the living family of God, he brings his chastising hand upon us. Not in anger, but in love. What is the idea of that chastising hand that the Lord brings on his children? You see, it says in Holy Scripture, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's not because he dislikes you. It's not because he's got anything against you. It's because he loves you. And what does that chastising hand do? It crucifies and mortifies our flesh. And that is the purpose of it. To humble us. To bring us down to his feet. To crucify our flesh. The Apostle Paul, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Now we have this word then that we started looking at in Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That was the extent of the word of God in the days of Joshua, the law. The five books of the law. And he was to observe it. We have a far greater revelation We have the law, the prophets, and the New Testament of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's the complete revelation of God unto man of the way of salvation. We have a greater light. We have the whole of this blessed book, the Bible. And now listen to what the Lord, he says unto Joshua, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Just substitute this book of the law for the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. We should be daily reading it, studying it. Those of you that have a profession that you follow, you're constantly updating yourself in everything that's going on in that profession. So you're up to date. You go on courses, you do this, you do that, you do something else, just so you're up to date. Are you as diligent over the matters of your soul? Do you diligently read the Word of God? Study the Word of God? Meditate in the Word of God? This was a secret of Joshua's prosperity. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. This book is all that you and I need. In every matter in life's journey, however small or however great, our inquiry should be, you know, as I've been around the churches for a good number of years preaching, and a particular issue will come up, whether it's a doctrine or whether it's church order or whether it's something you're doing in your life. And then you ask a question, oh, well, I think this and I think that and I think something else and I feel this. My dear beloved friends, our first inquiry should be not what I think, what saith the Scripture. That should be our first inquiry. And we should be so familiar with these Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit will come and he will breathe into your heart from the Scriptures of truth. And he'll lead you, he'll guide you, and he'll direct you in that way. There's another thing that we can be very clear on in this leading of the Holy Ghost. He will never, ever lead you opposite to Holy Scripture. I've come across this, some people doing something that is absolutely contrary to Scripture. And it's a person that professes grace and professes to love the Lord. And they say, well, the Lord led me to do this. He never did. He never did. They say, why? Because it's contrary to the Holy Scripture. And the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to Holy Scripture. This should be our guide, my beloved friends. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He needed those words, and you need those words, in this path that the Lord has laid in your heart. You need those words. Be strong, and of a good courage. Your flesh dislikes the way, and it does. And you'll find that when the Lord leads you in his ways, there'll be a resistance in your flesh. You know, friends, we must ever remember that word. The carnal mind, that's your carnal mind, my carnal mind, the carnal mind is enmity to God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I noticed just recently in preaching and this thought that why is it that the Lord's servants have so much opposition? And the more separating they are, the more clear they are, the more emphatic they are, the more the trumpet blows with a clear sound, the more opposition they have. And I was thinking of this. And you know, the reason is because the carnal mind is enmity. And if the minister preaches with clarity and clearness, this enmity rises up in the heart against him. It's against the Lord, really. But it's against his servant. The more faithful he is, the more enmity he will find in those that cannot receive the message that he has to deliver. Now, we mustn't digress too much here, friends. You see, he came without down to kneel the camels down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. Now, this is where we notice that he is a gracious man. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass. You see, he asked the Lord for a sign. He asked to be led. It's not wrong to ask the Lord for a sign and to be led and guided and directed by the Spirit of God. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass. See, the Lord immediately granted him his request. It came to pass before he had done speaking. That is, before he had done speaking in prayer. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah, while they are yet speaking, I will answer them. And we proved it ourselves. While they are yet speaking, I will answer them. And Rebecca comes along, and exactly as the dear man of God had asked the Lord for. He asked for that sign that she would say, drink and I will give thy camels drink also. And that is exactly what Rebecca did. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water. Now, my beloved friends, are you and I being led by the Spirit of God? Guided by the Spirit of God? There's something that lays in your heart that you feel, a path particularly that you feel you've got to take. And it lays with weight upon you. And there is, my beloved friends, that needs be for obedience. It's perhaps a way that is really contrary to your flesh. It's a way that you fear to take. You see, we have this word for our text. I'll be honest with you, when I was reading and meditating yesterday morning, thinking of this service, my mind was so much drawn to verse 58, I nearly took that. But as I sat reading, I went away and got myself a hot drink. And when I came back, this word seemed to just so rest on my spirit. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You know, no scripture is of any private interpretation. Some may say, well, this is just a narrative, it's historical. The word of God is spiritual. And as the Spirit of God opens the word of God, there are parts in it, even in those narratives that are so beautifully setting forth the way that we have to walk. And the way that this is open to me is, come in thou blessed of the Lord. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And it's the church speaking unto somebody without the church. You might say, why does the church speak to somebody without the church? Well, the word that so rested on my spirit, a very well-known word in the last chapter of Holy Scripture, and we read in Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit, capital S, so that's the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit and the Bride. The Bride is the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But notice, the Holy Ghost and the Church of Christ speak with one voice. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. There's that desire is speaking to somebody who's been made willing. And that takes us to the verse 58. And we read here in this leading and being brought to this household that his servant, he immediately wanted to unburden his heart. They made ready a meal to eat, and he said, before we eat, I must speak to you. And he said what his errand was, and they said to him, this thing proceedeth, in verse 50, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And of course, when we're speaking here of the church, and in this spiritual way, and come in thou blessed of the Lord, the Lord, he prepares his people in the church to receive somebody from without the church. And they become exercised concerning that person. And they pray to the Lord that he might bring it to fruition. And we need, of course, to be exceedingly careful. Don't put your own hand to it. Don't go and speak to that person and tell them that they should be baptized or they should join the church. Watch, wait, and pray. And the Lord will give you signs. And the feelings in your soul, because the Lord has prepared you for it, come in. Thou blessed of the Lord. And of course, when they come and they give their testimony, there's a unity of spirit and heart and soul together. There's a flowing together in union and communion. And there's a rejoicing. There's a rejoicing. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. There's a welcome. There's a welcome. Wherefore standest thou without? Well, how do we know when a person is indeed? Well, you may know it in private conversation. You know it in their walk and their conduct, which is consistent with the word of God. And then you know it when they come and testify. Come and testify of the Lord's mercy to their soul. In my mind, it just goes to that beautiful psalm, or a verse in that psalm, Psalm 66. And this is the same spiritual teaching that the Lord's children receive. We read in Psalm 66 and verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Come and hear. You see, that person is made willing. We read in Psalm 110, thy people, that's a beautiful messianic psalm. When it says thy people, it's the people of Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You're made willing to walk this pathway, even though you might be despised. You're made willing to walk in this pathway. And the Lord's people are made willing to receive you. When they hear your testimony, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. You know, friends, to join a church is a deeply solemn, precious and sacred thing. To unite openly with the living family of God, to feel a union to them. You know, there must be this if you're joining a church. A sense of union. Like the hymn writer says, "Here, my best friends, my kindred dwell, here God, my Saviour, reigns." And especially in your first love, when you feel love to Christ, oh, you so long to follow him. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, we read it in the third chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we read there in the last few verses of that chapter, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him." We can understand. John knew that this was the Son of God. He felt a sense of the majesty and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he trembled that he should baptize him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" This is what I wanted to draw your attention to. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now." Suffer it to be so now. May that be a word in season. Suffer it to be so now. "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. Now, a person rightly led and taught by the Spirit of God and in the love of Christ coming forth to be baptized, it's a righteous thing. That means it's a right thing in the sight of God. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There's a revelation of the Trinity there at the baptism of Jesus Christ. There in the arms of John the Baptist was Jesus, the Son of God, being dipped beneath the waters of Jordan. And as he comes up out of the water, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove alights upon him. Divine approbation. And a voice speaking from heaven, the voice of our eternal Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was something pleasing to the Trinity of Persons, that one true Almighty God. It was pleasing to him. This is the way, walk ye in it. And it is the way in which you are following Christ. And it's the way that is laid down in his word, to follow Christ. You know, we read, I think it's in the last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, that divine commission unto the Lord's servants. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me." These are the last few verses of the Gospel of Matthew. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You know, something that we need to dwell on. We need to consider. He's the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All events at his command. Not a hair of your head can fall. He has all power. He says here, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He has sovereign power. He has almighty power. He has eternal power. He has unchanging power. He has a power that will never deplete in any way whatsoever. You see, my beloved friends, the reason these words are spoken is to encourage us to continue in the path that he has laid in your heart. He is able. It's a beautiful word. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. This glorious Redeemer, he has all power in heaven and in earth. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. You're so fearful about taking this step, about going forth, and you get so tried. You know, again, we look back into the chapter where we are. Wilt thou go with this man? This man is Christ. You might say, you mean it's Isaac or Abraham's servant. Yes, but in the spiritual sense of the word, it's Christ. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I will go. Wonderful thing, you know, my beloved friends, to be made willing. Willing to follow the Lord Jesus. Willing to deny yourself. Willing to take up your cross and to follow him. We can't avoid just looking at this. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Why? Because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, I know I often mention it, but these little things are important doctrine in the name. Correct English would have said there's three people, you should have said the names. But it doesn't, because it's maintaining a very fundamental scriptural doctrine that these three are one. One blessed, infinite, almighty and eternal God. So it says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, what a precious word to the Lord's servants. And from this word, my beloved friends, we can clearly discern that this gospel will be preached right to the end of time. And the only reason that this world remains is because there are yet precious souls to be brought out of nature's darkness to living faith in Jesus Christ. And when that last precious soul who was chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son at Calvary, when that last precious soul, they're quickened into life and brought to faith in Jesus Christ, this world will depart on fire. That is the only reason that this world remains, is because the Lord's children are yet to be called. And when the last one is called, then the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Listen to the word here, unto the Lord's servants, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a precious word, isn't it? You know, my mind, it just goes to another beautiful psalm, Psalm 116. And the psalmist expresses his love to the Lord. He starts the psalm, I love the Lord. I remember 2 weeks after I was baptized, back in 1972, I went with one of my brothers down to the West Country and we went to Chard, and the late Mr. Priest was the pastor then. It was the only time I heard him, and his text was the first verse of this psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. What was so precious to me is the savour and the sweetness under that sermon that I felt. I love the Lord. I was in my first love, and I did love the Lord, and I still love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. See, where the divine spirit is working, there is spiritual exercise and prayer. Prayer is a very spiritual exercise. And a person without grace cannot rightly pray. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, and he tells us here in this psalm, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. He's speaking here of his own experience when the Holy Spirit entered his heart, when he was convicted and convinced of sin. And the apostle himself says, we have the sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. That's what brought him to call on the name of the Lord, because he was in trouble and sorrow. Now the depth and the length of conviction of sin, the Lord is an absolute sovereign. Some are led very deeply in this way. Others are led much more gently in this way. There are those who I've known, most gracious people, and the first thing that they ever experienced was the love of God. That was before they had conviction of sin. The first thing they experienced was the love of Christ in their hearts. I know two particular people, and afterwards they confessed to me, I knew much conviction of sin, but my first experience was the love of Christ. See, we have to be very careful, my beloved friends, of trying to put a straitjacket of a person's experience. I've heard ministers say it. Well, first you'll have this, and then you'll have that, and then you'll have that, and then you'll have something else. And it's all they're doing is laying out their own personal spiritual experience. But that is not the experience of every single one of the Lord's children. The Lord is an absolute sovereign in the way that he leads, teaches and guides and directs his children. The hymn writer says, some receive their pardon first, and others struggle to get through. You know, the Lord, the Spirit, will bring us to the feet of Jesus in his own sovereign way. He will. But we will know, in our experience, I'm not talking now of the order of it, we will know what it is, the sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. You see, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces of sin. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And the Lord did deliver his soul, because he goes on, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Can you say that? I was brought low and he helped me. That may be your experience. You was brought low. It could have been in the matters of providence. It could have been in your health. It could have been entirely in the matters of your soul. But you're brought low. And he helped me. I think of that dear woman that came to the Lord Jesus. She had a very sick daughter. And we read, it's a beautiful word, because it shows you how low the Holy Spirit comes. And she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She worshipped him. Well, we would say, surely that's a bit poor. She worshipped him. And the scripture gives us that clear teaching. She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You see, sometimes we get concocted up in our minds that this idea that somebody must have great ecstasies of joy, wonderful, profound experiences, and that's what real religion is. No, my beloved friends, The real religion of the people of God is to the poor and needy. Yes, some of the Lord's people, I've actually known it myself. You do have ecstasies of joy and wonderful glory of Christ is revealed unto you. But that's not the complete religion. She worshipped him. She was brought into a place by her sick daughter where she absolutely needed the Lord to appear. And she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest. What is the rest of the people of God? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the rest of the people of God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. It's to rest by faith in the finished work of Christ. It's to rest by faith in the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. It's to rest by faith in the glorious righteousness of Christ, which covers and clothes a poor, naked and wretched sinner. It's the rest of faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's to rest there. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. My dear beloved friends, Christ is the centre, the sum, and the substance of all real religion. It is. But he goes on here in this Psalm 116. And this is the effect of that grace in his heart. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There's a path to be walked, and it's in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? There is that desire to honour the Lord. And there is a way set out to honour the Lord. It's set out in Holy Scripture. We just read of it. One part of it is the waters of baptism. To be baptised in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. The other part of it is the Lord's Supper. Now we're strict and particular Baptists. And we believe that the part of the Lord's table is through the waters of baptism. And in the Lord's Supper, again, see, in the doctrine of baptism, what do we see? Christ crucified. View the right with understanding. Jesus' grave before thee lies. Be interred at his commanding after his example rise. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And in the Lord's Supper, it's exactly the same. Jesus Christ and him crucified. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And so he says here, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. It makes me think of what we just read in Matthew. The Lord Jesus, he says, thus it becometh us now. Now. It's sort of an imperative word, isn't it? Now. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. And again in verse 18, exactly the same. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let me tell you, friend, the church is waiting for you. And this today is a message from them to you. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. And also our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And God willing, this will be on their website as well, should I say, as the chapel. Let us close with hymn 1053. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art, visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart. Hymn 1053.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.